Welcome everyone to our second Evening Star class as we continue the ascent from the underworld. This chakra gate is connected to the mysteries that include how we value ourselves, and it's sometimes referred to as the chakra of sex and money. We'll be talking about that a little bit more as we look at it from the Aries perspective and how we can experience embodied pleasure. It also has a lot to do with desire, because if without desire, we don't have creation. So the challenge with desire is when we are attached to how that manifests. So the trick is to have to not suppress desire, but to allow ourselves to have it and then not be attached to how it manifests. So that's something else we can contemplate here at this particular chakra. So we're hoping that everyone's had a chance to watch the video that we did on the Evening Star Ascent. And that video is the one that talks about the chakra specifically. We'll be kind of jumping off of that and applying our understanding to the Aries Metagoddess and the sacral chakra and all of the things that are going on with that. So if you haven't had a chance to watch it, that's okay. You can still, you'll still have a chance over the next month. You know, if you're not really fully familiar with how the chakras work and the different gates, then it's a great video for you. So we're excited. We're also at the Aries new moon today. Woohoo. I'm personally excited about this new moon because it's conjunct my Venus. In the exact degree of my Venus. Woohoo! And
it's on my ascendant.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, it's close to your ascendant. It's exact on my
close.
Venus. Like
yeah, I think
degrees.
It's on my ascendant now.
Before it gets to the actual full moon point. And, of course, it'll be passing by Uranus. It's about to change out of Aries for the first time in 7 years next month. But Uranus being a change agent, you know, there's this whole opportunity that we have in this full moon as we're doing the class to really shift our perspective around the second chakra and having more possibilities than ever, especially for the Aries goddess. Woohoo! Well, I'm excited about that. I'm sure you are too, Tammy. So
yes.
We're really excited to share this journey, and we just like to remind everyone each time that our intention is for everyone to feel supported personally and also within the collective container. And we just love how courageous people are in sharing already, the sharing that we've seen in the Facebook community. And if you aren't in Facebook, then you can send us anything you would like to have us share, and we'd be happy to share that. And then we also are grateful for your presence and willingness to be on this journey with us because, you know, the more of us, the better. We're all in it together. And we also encourage everyone to just engage the journey in whatever way works for you. So, and know that whatever that is, it's perfect. It doesn't have to be any one way or anything. We're getting away from the rules, and we just provide you a lot of content that you can engage that will support your journey if that works for you. So also just to remember, there's no right or wrong way. I kind of have been saying that, but that, you know, whatever's happening for you is perfectly designed for you to take you where you most need to go in this journey. So that's another intention that we hold for the group. And that as we journey together, the power and the impact of the transformation that's possible for us, each of us individually, is increased exponentially through our collective intent. Yay! So in a moment, Tammy's going to give us the overview, but first we're going to get centered and grounded and invite in sacred space for this particular ceremonial gate that we're engaging. So I just invite everyone to bring your attention to your breath. And breathe deeply into your belly and allow yourself to drop into a meditative, receptive space. And you might even feel like you want to rub your belly if that's something that helps to really connect your attention to that part of your belly or to your body. and just, you know, bring your attention to the place of the sacral chakra right below your belly button or below your navel. And continuing to breathe gently into this part of your body, you can imagine that you're filling your second chakra with radiant golden light. And you can see, sense, or feel, or all of those, that this golden light is filling your entire body, spreading across the earth and filling all of creation. And also feel into how this golden light is creating a safe container for you as we prepare to reclaim the chakra in the most powerful way possible. So feeling into the sacred space within you and around you, take a moment to thank your grandmother guide or guides, the helping spirits, the power animals, all the beings that work with you as you are making this journey, this ascent journey, thanking them for their assistance that you've received so far and that they will continue to provide you. Also, we can thank the warrior goddesses or the warrior goddess, whatever is working for you to connect with in that journey, in this way that we're journeying right now. And all the beautiful nurturing ways that the warrior goddess is showing up for us and embracing the essence of life force energy as it relates to the Aries goddess, reclaiming the full embodied bliss that is possible when this chakra is healthy and wide awake. So know your value is that you're alive, that you exist, and as you experience and express love, know it is more precious than any material thing you have or could have. As we invoke the warrior goddesses and their ongoing assistance at the chakra gate with this prayer or invocation. So here we go. Beloved warrior, protector, goddess, lady of enchantments, powerful one of sensual beauty and orgasmic pleasure, opener of the ways and satisfier of desires, guide me in opening to receive more beauty, more love, more pleasure, more health and wealth than I have ever imagined. Guide me in reclaiming the gifts of transformative intimacy so that I experience ecstatic bliss through physical pleasure. O mighty and great one, in the wise use of life force, including healthy expressions of personal value and self-worth, guide me in claiming and living my true value. Show me how to fully savor and embrace the exquisite ecstasy of embodying sensual life force that is mine to experience and express in ways that support me to genuinely stand in my strength, to trust my knowing and radiate my light as I continue to restore the cosmic balance within and without. Aho.
Aho. That's beautiful. I love, and this just, every time we do these, Kaylin creates this beautiful little panel, and this one is beautiful. Kaylin, do you want to read this too, since I think this is yours?
Sure. This is something you can use like as a vision board, or you can make your own. I'm just giving some ideas about how you might want to do that for this particular chakra. And so this is what I came up with, because I think on the way down, we were like accepting ourselves no matter, you know, how much we needed to release. So now I'm totally and completely love and value and accept myself, reclaiming pleasure, beauty, and thriving from the inside out. You can create whatever you want if this is something that speaks to you as a way to engage this energy. Or you can just use this, whatever works for you.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. Yeah, you know, I loved how you opened sacred space, and it made me realize how I had not even recognized this, but I went on Friday to get a Maya abdominal massage, which is all about opening this sacred center, this womb space. And even though it's not something we included in our video that we shared, because we do talk about lots of different practices, I just want to also encourage people to look up Arvigo therapy or Maya abdominal massage, because it is so powerful in doing and creating that internal experience. And we give it to ourselves. That is what I was feeling, Kaylin, when you were opening sacred space. Anyway, so I just wanted to not forget that because it came up. I love this chakra gate so much. I know Kaylin and I both love this one. How could you not love a gate that is dedicated, among other things, to sweetness and pleasure? And claiming it really claiming it. So today we're going to cover a lot of ground. We're going to talk about sky magic. There's a lot happening. We're also going to really focus on specifically how does Aries reclaim the sacral chakra, and then go through some questions around that and talk about the Aries meta goddess moving through Taurus and Gemini at the sacral chakra. We're going to go through the Venus and sky temple journeys, and then we've got some other materials in there as well. So, and Kaylin, I actually think the next slide, I think that that might be going after the next two slides. Might. So I'm not sure. I guess we could just kind of skip around.
Okay. Yeah. You know, I think I might be, oh yeah. Yeah. I see what you're saying. Maybe the one that's, how are you rising? Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah. It's that. Yeah. Let's go ahead and skip to that one, which is, I can't see what number that is.
Number seven.
It's seven. Okay. So if you all don't mind just zooming back to seven, or up to seven, and we're just skipping two. So one of the things about this journey, of course, is that we are focusing on each of the sacral, or each of the chakra gates, but also there can be this experience that feels different when we're in the lower part of the journey, when we're closer to the underworld, and as we move up and out, we're not quite as raw. We are really moving literally up into the upper chakras, but also further from that initiatory experience that we've just come through. And it just feels like a really good time to just kind of check in and just say, you know, how are you rising? What is your experience? And as Kaylin mentioned, people have been doing some phenomenal sharing, and we used to capture those sharings and put them in our slides. And it's very time consuming. But if you're in Facebook, I'll just say just a couple. We're not able to really respond to all of them all the time. But I know for myself and Kaylin, I'm sure for you too, it's like when I read them, like the latest from Amy, just so powerful. And those of you who are on the page itself who aren't in Facebook, you know, I am sure, and the emails we've gotten as well, people are having profound transformational experiences. And also, you know, there's some rough stuff that is coming up. And just want to just remind that we're not really that far up and out of the underworld yet. And so it can feel a little bit raw, a little tender. So anyway, just this question, where are you at with it now? And wherever you're at is exactly the right, the very best place. And just to ask, you know, have you found your ground during the root chakra gate? Just to take a moment to even appreciate the places where you feel more grounded now, just to feel that in our bodies. Just how are you feeling more grounded? How are you feeling more centered? For myself, I know I have gotten in a practice of sitting by a tree every day with my bare feet on the ground when it's warm enough. And that has been, just that one thing has absolutely shifted things for me. I feel way more grounded. So as you rise as the Aries goddess restoring the cosmic order, one of the things that we're kind of seeing and exploring here is that, and we talk about it subtly, but to me it feels important to make it overt, is that we're going to be in different places in our personal lives. And for some of us maybe who tend to, in our Aries expression, tend to be more externally focused, maybe be more of an external activist or be very concerned with outer world events. And if you've been that way for a long time, you might actually find that for you, the focus right now is more on the within journey of finding that balance within yourself to feel like you are deeply restoring your own center, your own personal joy, pleasure, state of deep presence. If, on the other hand, you've been doing a lot of that work, and, you know, for many of us it's both, then, but if you've been more focused on the internal, then you might find yourself just ready to blow, like just so ready to be out there in the world, bringing your energy up and out, being active in whatever ways feel right for you, spiritually, on the streets, whatever that is. And so just to honor wherever we're at, and just to check in with where is that? Where is that balance, inner, outer, within, without? And or is there a dynamic inner, outer balance? And just to bring our great love and compassion for where we are and honoring of that. And can we find our perfection in that? So I just felt that that could be important to tune in around that. So thanks, Kaylin.
Yes, I think it's really important. And one of the things we're going to be experiencing as we now jump into the sky magic place, I mean, here we are with the Aries new moon today as we're doing this recording with Uranus. Uranus creates disruption for the purpose of helping us to grow and evolve, right? To expand consciousness and awareness. So it's not just disruption for the sake of disruption, but it's whatever needs to happen to get us where we need to go. And sometimes that can not feel so great, but it may be the best thing possible. So, you know, what you were saying about that. Plus, we've also got Mercury stationed direct today. That Mercury retrograde was pretty intense.
Mm-hmm.
I know, and I'm sure some of you maybe can relate to that. And then when we look at what's going on at the chakra gate, oh my gosh, we'll see that there's so much going on with that. So it's all designed to help us to move to where we're needing to go. It's designed to support our unfolding and just to remember that when it doesn't feel that way. Sometimes it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So going to slide, going back up a couple slides, I guess, to five. Looking at the fact that during this chakra gate, we are going to experience Beltane. Beltane is the cross-quarter time between the spring equinox and the summer solstice. And I know on our calendar, a lot of calendars say May 1st or 2nd for Beltane. But literally the cross-quarter was when the sun would reach the exact halfway point between zero Aries and zero Cancer, and that happens to be 15 Taurus, and that's going to happen on May 5th. So Cinco de Mayo, also known as Cinco de Mayo, May 5th is often the time when it happens. Sometimes May 4th, but this year it's definitely on May 5th. And it's also a time when the Celtic people or some of ancient cultures really felt it was the time when the veils between the worlds were the thinnest and that magic was most prevalent at that particular time, or the ability to access magic. So we've got that happening at the sacral chakra. How cool is that? Of course, Beltane was also connected to the fertility and abundance of the goddess. For those in the northern hemisphere, it's the opposite season in the southern hemisphere, and I don't know those traditions because I don't live there so much, but if you're in the southern hemisphere, we honor that too, and maybe you will share with us what those traditions are. That would be awesome. The other thing about what's happening with Beltane now is that it does, it's soon after the exact cross-quarter point that the sun passes the Pleiades. So it kind of features the Pleiades. And I think I should say in the evening sky instead of the morning sky here, but Beltane is really marking the beginning of summer for many cultures. Now, where I live, it's definitely feels like summer already. We're not even there yet. I'm in the desert in Arizona, right? But in some places, it might not feel like that so much. And when we look at a lot of the stories, like Midsummer's Eve, happened at the summer solstice, not at the solstice. The start of summer was not at the solstice, it was the midsummer point. So they started the seasons with the cross-quarter points. So just something to know, and something for us to just tune into and honor. And of course, Venus has already passed this point a couple of days ago. It passed 15 Taurus. Mm-hmm. So anytime anything's crossing that point, it's activating sort of that more magical energy of the cross-quarter grade.
Well, and also, I mean, isn't it pretty precise to say that, okay, Venus is in Taurus, sacral chakra, Beltane, and Beltane is that energy of aliveness, of sweetness, of sensuality, and I mean, the energies are so resonant. It's amazing.
Yeah, we were talking about this actually before we got on the call, and that is that this particular Venus mm-hmm. cycle the one where Venus rises as morning star at the spring equinox, connects the whole story with the season. And so at the sacral chakra, she's rising up, at the time of Beltane into the sacral chakra. And a lot of the she's in the underworld at the time of December solstice. Mm-hmm. So this is what many researchers believe was the energy that the Sumerians and the Babylonians were modeling their story after. So it was modeled after this particular Venus cycle because it so closely represents the factors that are happening within the Venus cycle. Yeah. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Yeah.
Right. So the next slide is the Beltane sunrise at Callanish. I just thought it was so beautiful, I had to put it in there. And also just to kind of give you that sense of, these standing stones, these places that these people built were meant to track these seasonal shifts. That's what the stone circles were for. So we can actually create our own ways of tracking that. And for me, it's like I've been learning where the sun is rising on the mountain at the different seasons and tuning into it from that perspective. So you can do that, or you can look at sunset and see where it's setting and look at the different seasons and kind of get a sense of where that's happening. So I highly recommend you do that. One of the things that happens is from the spring equinox to Beltane, the sun moves very quickly across the horizon. And from Beltane to summer solstice, it's moving very slowly. It doesn't cover nearly as much. It's like covers two-thirds of the distance or three-quarters of the distance from the equinox to the cross quarter point. And then from the cross quarter point to the solstice is about a third or a fourth of the distance that it's going to cover the whole time. So it moves really fast up to the cross quarter. And that's another sort of feature of the cross quarter that's significant. So you can watch that if you're up early or you have a good clear view of a western horizon sunset. You can see how that is happening where you are. So on the slide number 8, I think it is, we are on April 16th, 2018, around 7:30 p.m. We can see the moon. So this is tomorrow, happening soon. We can see the moon is below Venus, and it's a waxing moon, so that it's going to be rising up to meet Venus the next day. And Venus is around 20, almost 21 Taurus. The moon is around 10 Taurus, so it's going to move 10 degrees over this next day from the 16th to the 17th to activate the gate. But we consider the gate to be 3 days. So the 16th would be the opening of it. The 17th would be more of the exact point of it. And then the 18th is, it's still kind of in the range of it. So if we look at the next slide, number 9, we see that the moon is just a little around 7:30 p.m. The exact conjunction has already taken place during the day, and the moon's at 24, almost 24 and a half Taurus, and Venus is almost 22 Taurus. So that's being activated. Now, what's interesting about April 17th is that Pluto's stationing retrograde and Chiron's moving into Aries for the first time in 50 years. Doesn't really have anything to do with the Venus cycle, but it's a lot of energy happening at this Venus gate. Just so, that the two initiatory energies, Pluto and Chiron, having major events taking place here at the sacral chakra. So we could imagine that perhaps they're lending their skill to helping us in terms of whatever it is we still maybe need to let go of or transform so that we can have a more healthy second chakra experience. It also happens to be the time. What?
What did you say was happening with Pluto?
It's stationing retrograde.
Oh, okay. Thank you. I think actually it's Saturn is stationing retrograde on the 17th, and Pluto, I think, is Sunday?
Oh, on the 22nd. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Yeah, so okay, Saturn stationing retrograde. Yeah. And but also we can see here that the Sun and Uranus are conjunct, and that only happens once a year.
Yeah.
And it's
amazing.
The last degrees of Aries. Yeah. So we have that happening as well. And again, we talked about disruption. Saturn or Uranus often creates disruption so that there can be evolution. And if you think about the seed, how the seed turns itself inside out, it disrupts the, you know, the structure of what it is so it can grow. And that's what Uranus helps us do.
Right. And Jupiter is opposite Venus and the moon when they're conjunct. It's like
that's
everything
true.
Happening all at the same time.
Should be interesting. We'll be interested to hear what people's experiences are.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah. So on April 17th, Venus and the Moon are below the Pleiades. And so if you go to the next slide, number 10, you can see, and the Pleiades actually currently, because they're a little asterism, they cover 29 Taurus to 0 Gemini. And so the Moon will, in a few hours, pass by the Pleiades, and then in a few days, Venus will pass by that place. So we'll talk a little bit more about the Pleiades in a moment, but just so you could have a sense of what that is. So this is happening near the Pleiades. And what's interesting is in the next Venus cycle, Venus will be the closest to the Pleiades when it passes by in its evening star phase since 8 years ago. 8 years ago, it was like sitting inside. It was so amazing to see. It was sitting inside the Pleiades. Now this time it's going to pass below the Pleiades perspective, but just something, you know, hints of things to come. So if you look at slide number 11, you can see the Moon as it's passing from the 17th, how it's beside Venus, and this rendition of it, and the 18th, the Moon is kind of beside the Pleiades. Then it goes occult, Aldebaran. It is the there's 49 occultations. It started in 2015, goes to September of 2018. So we're in the, you know, 40 something of the occultations, because there's just a few more left. And each one really builds on another. And so here we are at the sacral chakra gate with this occultation of the Moon over Aldebaran. Pretty powerful thing that's going to be happening. And I don't think it's really visible from where we are so much. It might be happening more during the day. Or not in, you know, it's not in our path, but if you see the Moon on the night of the 18th, you'll see the Moon fairly close to Aldebaran, and you can see it looks like it's going to track right up over it. So that's pretty cool. And then on slide number 12, just another, when Venus catches up to the Pleiades and will be on its way up to pass by Aldebaran. And so Venus by the Pleiades on April 24th, something to just keep your eye out for over the next, you know, as you can watch Venus get closer and closer in the evening sky to the Pleiades. And then on April 30th, it'll be passing by Aldebaran. And you can see it's moved up above the Pleiades in this slide number 13. So one of the reasons we like to talk about this is that the Pleiades and Aldebaran is the eye of the bull, and the Pleiades are on the shoulder of the bull, of the constellation of the bull, and were very important to many ancient cultures. In fact, the Pleiades were thought to be by the indigenous people of North America, Siberia, Australia, as well as the Greeks and other, you know, the Romans and other people saw them as the seven sisters. And there's many stories that are told in many different cultures, many different kinds of stories, but they're almost always seen as seven sisters or the cosmic mother who gave her children the codes of light. I love that imagery. It's pretty cool. Sometimes described as the flock of doves and linked to Mary Magdalene and the Merovingian bloodline, or the bloodline of Jesus, because she supposedly was married to him and had his children, more than one, some stories, one in other stories, but there's a bloodline that went on from that time, and that the Pleiades is somehow connected to that. And also many cultures perceive the Pleiades as a stargate back to home. So many, you know, many cultures identified as having come from the Pleiades. and that's their path home through the Pleiades. And of course, Aldebaran, the Eye of the Bull, was one of the four royal stars of the ancient times, and as was considered the watcher of the east, and is the asterism. It's kind of a V-shaped. You can kind of see it in here. Actually, on the slide before, you see the V-shape more easily. Actually, on slide 12, you see the V-shape more easily. And then, and so they were also considered the five daughters of Atlas, near the seven sisters of the Pleiades. Anyway, so just, you know, something to tune into. You don't really have to know exactly what it means, because part of what we're trying to encourage people to do is to get your own information. But it can be helpful to know some of the background of what's been happening. This really, to me, feels like a very feminine part of the sky that has, you know, been seen that way for a really long time. So going to slide number 15, what we're seeing is the sacred hoop, my best ability to draw it, as not a circle, because I'm taking straight lines, but, you know, the sacred hoop of the Native Americans. They see this part of the sky, with starting with the star Capella at the top, going to Castor, then Pollux, then Procyon, then Sirius, then Rigel, the foot of Orion, and up to the Pleiades, and then back to Capella. And that through the sacred hoop of stars, and it really looks more like a hoop when you look at it in the sky, is this cross, the cross of the plane of the galaxy and the plane of the solar system. And the June solstice sun rises at the center point of this cross every year from 1962 to 2034. So it's a very important part of the sky. So Venus is, if we go to the next slide, Venus is actually entering the hoop on April 24th when it's with the Pleiades. And then we'll be with Aldebaran on May 3rd, exact. I gave April 30th as a time that's going to be close, but before. And then on May 5th, Venus reaches the transit degree when it transited the sun in 2012. And that's the Beltane exact cross quarter point as well, where the sun will be exactly at 15 Taurus, and Venus is going to be at the point that it was when it transited in 2012, was with 15 Gemini. So that's pretty cool. And between the horns of the bull, so I just want to, and then there's two stars, Elneth and Elheka, that I think I show a little bit more in a further on slide. But the when Venus is between the horns of the bull, or when the crescent moon at a shift in a season was between the horns of the bull, they would see that as the turning of an age. So Venus having her transit here would suggest it's a turning of an age for the divine feminine. And it won't happen again for 243 years from 2004. 243 years from 2004 will be the next time Venus transits the sun in this part of the sky. It's pretty cool. And then Venus will reach the cross, the exact point where the sun rises, on May 19th, and we'll actually have another class on that. And it will exit the hoop on June 24th. So it's here, the whole sacral chakra going through the sacred hoop. Pretty amazing. So if we look at, I know, if we look at slide number 17, these are the Venus passages, past and future. So only up until the, you know, it's like 105 years until the next one. We won't be in the same part of the sky. But from, it's 243 years for it to return to the same area of the sky. So in 1761, we had a Venus transit and in this part of the sky in 1769 also. And then it was 243 years later in 2004 and 2012. So 243 years from that time. And it connects a little bit with the number magic of Venus and the Earth, because Venus makes one full rotation on her axis every 243 days, and then every 243 years returns to the same area of the sky to transit the sun. And then in 243 years, Venus rotates 365 times, and that's how many times Earth rotates in 1 year. So you can see there's that number magic between them. And so anyway, just something to be aware of, because in this gate, Venus is returning to that place in the sky. And so every year it returns, it's activating what was seeded in 2004 and 2012 between the horns of the bull. And so here on slide number 18, we see Venus between the horns of the bull, and where it was being transiting the face of the sun in 2004 and 2012. In 2012. So, again, the idea that when something's between the horns of the bull, it's representing a new time period. To many cultures, this was the case. And the two stars, Alneth and Alheka, are the two end stars of the horns of the bull. And it's pretty cool to see in the sky, to get a chance to see that. So I have some images here of showing a bull with a sun disk or something between the horns. and that could be also a moon, like the moon showing up there and representing the shift to a new age. And that's one of the ways that they captured that. And if you look on slide number 20, there's some other images that show that shift as well. So we know that the ancient people were tracking this, and it was important to them. So we can tune in and just see what the messages might be coming from this part of the sky as Venus passes through it. So there we go. I think you covered everything.
Yeah, that's so exciting, and it's also so interesting that Venus is really close to Aldebaran on the Beltane, on solar Beltane also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So many magical occurrences in all of this. Awesome. So, amazing night sky over this period. And so now we're going to shift to kind of talking a little bit about Aries at this chakra gate specifically, and how it is that we might want to energize that, or how we might feel into that. So again, with this within without kind of focus, one of the aspects of the sacral chakra we work with is, of course, the money aspect and abundance. And so with Aries and money, we're really energizing that. This is the time over this coming month for us personally and collectively to restore economic justice and balance. And just to consider, you know, Kayla and I were really talking about this, just to consider in that Aries, that aspect of our awareness that is growing, that's waking up around the globe right now. This part of it is a feeling of outrage and of, that we're really done with the way that the economic system has been functioning or not functioning, the way that it's truly not been serving the majority. And more, it's so clear that we are in need of a new model, because there are far too many people who are struggling in this scarcity-based economy. So just to consider, again, on the within, the level of within, we need to tend to this as well, and how is it that we can transform this paradigm internally? So to ask, what would it take for me to claim a fully empowered relationship with money while opening to receive financial abundance flowing to me with ease? So really feel into that. What would that take? This is the month to really energize that, to claim that, to allow miracles to happen that shift us into this new direction personally as well as collectively. So the mantra, one mantra you might use is, I easily receive all resources needed to fully and enthusiastically fulfill my life purpose. And then on the in the without level, in the broader culture, we could ask, how can I recognize and grow new economic models attracting all necessary resources with my attention and intention, benefiting all life? And a mantra that you might play with for that would be, I easily attract, recognize, and grow with my intention and attention all the resources necessary for a thriving new economy benefiting all life everywhere. So that's just really, really something for us to feel into and know that we can have a tremendous impact right now in our own lives and in the world around us, to begin really, truly believing and acting as if that new economy of abundance and of thriving for everyone is already on its way. It's already here. We just have to let ourselves step into it. So, and with that, the Aries meta goddess is going to continue moving through the sign of Taurus, but now shifting into the sacral chakra. And that is from the sacral chakra gate activation until April 24th. So it's a short window, but potent. And in this window, we can really consider that the Meta Goddess is exuberantly opening to receive all the joy, physical pleasure, sensual bliss, financial abundance, and creative flow the universe has to generously give to her. Her meaning you, meaning me, meaning all of us. And then our declaration could be, I boldly stand in the flow, receiving all good things flowing into my life now. I am actively creating a world where every being is living prosperously, developing and expressing their creative genius, experiencing safety, healing, fulfillment, and pleasure, including sexuality and intimacy. I fiercely protect this developing new culture within and without, and celebrate its manifestation at every level, more and more each day. And then the Aries Meta Goddess in Gemini at the sacral chakra is then from April 24th until we hit the solar plexus chakra on May 17th. This is what we also collectively are going to be stepping into. And she is reclaiming the pleasure of play, fun, and joy as an expression of her bold purpose and mission. When considering a new project or world-changing action, she asks, is it fun? How can my immensely powerful, magical, alchemical inner child accomplish change in a playful, pleasurable, and creative new way? How do I continue to let go of should and the burden of duty as absolute fuel for the engine of my all-in mission and purpose? So I am burning the fuel of joyous pleasure, knowing all things are possible when I embrace my multidimensional nature and ability to shape-shift my reality for maximum benefit and delight, serving all beings in the earth.
Yay!
And then, yay! and so then, of course, as we move through also, we might find ourselves encountering some of the remnants, or maybe it's almost like you could think of it as a limb, like the, what is the term for that? The phantom limb. That even though we've done so much work to let go and clear of everything that stands in the way of our full engagement with the sacral chakra, that there still is there still might be this felt, we might encounter these demons, which we can then look at and engage with in such a way to ask, what is the gift? But some of those demons, and you might have other ones that you might identify, could be the scarcity consciousness demon, the sacrificing pleasure for duty demon, devaluing our contribution demon, belief that pleasure is sinful demon, money is the root of all evil demon, victim to our outer circumstances demon, devaluing our own experience demon, stifled creativity demon, the soldier following orders demon, spiritual people are poor demon, starving artist mentality demon, starving activist mentality demon, love addiction demon, or the sex addiction demon. Those are just a few. Not that we necessarily need to engage in any way with those, and perhaps if we do, it's very, very subtle, but that those might be some energies to do an even deeper transformation around. So.
Right. You know what? When we're inviting our demons to tea, it's like, why are they there, and what do they have to tell us? What's the message they have for us? So maybe we've already worked with some of these, but particularly from the Aries perspective, how do we work with it from the Aries perspective is part of what we're trying to energize or bring through here for people to think about and to connect in with. And then I have read this, I can't even tell you how many places, that when we name something, when we call it out, it loses power over us.
True.
So that's why we want to call these out.
Yeah.
So we're not at the effect of them, and they've been seen and named, right?
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
See them, and really, truly, as you're saying, in terms of inviting them to tea, like really maybe reflecting on over the course of your journey thus far, where any of these energies may have shown up in a way that felt dramatic or felt challenging, and truly deeply to ask, in what ways, how can I give gratitude to this energy? How can I express thankfulness for all of the ways I've been transformed in this encounter? And really approach it also in that way.
Beautiful. So we're also going to be looking at, and we have already in the other video that we created, looking at money as sacred. But these are just a couple of quotes that feel like they are helpful to remember as we work with the sacral chakra, because of course it's all about life force energy, and money is how that life force energy flows through us. So if we're stuck, it may not be flowing. And so we want to just be paying attention to that. And I just love Sri Aurobindo's looking at this as money is the visible sign of a universal force. And this force in its manifestation on Earth works on the vital and physical planes and is indispensable to the fullness of the outer life. In its origin and its true action, it belongs to the divine. Good reminder, because sometimes that whole money is evil thing, I think that they said money is the root of all evil. There was a statement, and I heard that somebody said the original translation was something like, the love of money is at the root of all evil. It's like, that's all you care about, that's all you're putting your energy into, then that becomes an obsession, and it's out of balance, and it's not healthy, so... We want to love money because it can provide a lot of things for us. And the more we love it, the more it comes to us. So it gives us the ability to transform things in our world and the world around us. And then money is, from Barbara Wilder's book, Money is Love, money is energy and energy is limitless. By changing our feelings about money from fear, anger, greed, and scarcity to love, joy, abundance, and goodwill, we can transform the way money moves through our lives and the lives of others all over the world. So that is the intention that we really want to energize. And that, you know, I like this idea that we vote with our dollars. So what we spend our money on is what we're creating in our reality. So if you're, you know, if you're buying organic food, you're voting for organic food to be produced more in the world. And that is actually happening in a huge way. You know, so you want to just be conscious of the things you're spending your money on, because you realize that's how you're voting for your reality. And we're going to talk a little more about that as we go. And then this book had a big impact on me, The Brotherhood of the Magi by Jesse Ayani. And she talks about I've read these stories in different ways, but that there's this idea that that our reality, the Garden of Eden, pleasure was meant to be our greatest teacher. And in the last 5,000 to 6,000 years, it was shifted to pain as the primary teacher. And pleasure became fleeting and not so easy to sustain. And so it was basically taken from us, you know, that idea that we got cast out of the garden, out of that place where we could experience greater pleasure. And then it became more fleeting. And so we lost our ability to sustain those pleasurable experiences. And then we became more fearful and easier to manipulate. And there are, you know, these many, many stories about beings, like off-world kind of beings that feed off of the energy of fear. And so we really want to shift that within ourselves. So we're not giving them what they want. And we're also reclaiming what's ours. And that is the idea that the pleasure paradigm, the experience of the garden of earthly delight, can be ours again when we reclaim a healthy sacral chakra through our willingness and our awareness to really get that pleasure is our birthright. And even though we've been conditioned completely opposite of that in this reality, it's like through our intention and intention, we can reignite and reclaim the gifts of pleasure as our greatest teacher. Yes, yes, yes. I am all about that.
I love so much this book and what you compressed in it. It's so powerful. So awesome. Thank you. Then to just consider even a little bit more deeply with sex, money, and this pleasure of a life force that we encounter at the sacral chakra gate, how do we engage that for the Aries goddess? So How can the Aries warrior goddess know all her needs and desires are easily fulfilled, inspiring even more powerful life force expressed through bold, pioneering creativity and self-expression? And to ask the question, what do you desire to create? Then what is your why for creating? And are you responding to should? Because that is something that Aries can get a little caught in. What you think you are supposed to do, a sense of duty, or from an inner feeling that's fueled by desire. It's a very, very different energy, and it's much more generative, and it's, you know, when you're coming from the should or supposed to or duty, that's where burnout comes from. That's where operating from the sympathetic or the fight or flight kind of way of being comes from. That's where doing addiction and adrenal exhaustion comes from. So we're shifting that into moving in our lives from an inner feeling fueled by desire to really, really moving into that space more and more. So what would it take to be the director of your own purpose rather than empowering external influences to steer and fuel you? And
I have to say, Tammy, I love this image that you found of a warrior with a bow, but she's so sensual. And, of course, she's got the snake.
I know, right? She's so great.
Right. That's awesome. Really good.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, so when your actions are accompanied by pleasure, you know you're on the right track. Yeah, and she's not really in action mode, clearly, but if it was needed, if she were to need to go into action mode, she would have all her wits about her, and she would be absolutely ready and prepared to respond in the absolute best possible way. And she's probably got her clothes nearby, too, so she gets, you know.
Right. And meanwhile, she's in the most pleasurable, you know, expression of being, you know, wherever she is and enjoying the sensuality of it. So perfect.
Absolutely. Awesome. Restoring her center.
Right. So I can't remember if this one was, I'll do this one. What the heck? Second, sacral chakra and pleasure paradigm. So really, our opportunity is to wake up from the false reality, the false dream that we've been living, so that we can remember that we never actually lost this. It just was an illusion. And that as we are reclaiming this genuine, healthy, pleasurable experiences of this world and doing that while we're caring for each other, and then we are really together recreating the garden of earthly delight. Now, yes, and we begin with reclaiming healthy sacral chakra experience. So the tools to accomplish this are definitely our awareness, our intention, and attention to the choices that we're making. So are we taking actions that help us to have more beauty and pleasure and sensuality in our life? You know, so our lifestyle choices, valuing ourselves, really important, because if we're valuing ourselves, we're probably going to make better choices for ourselves. And then how we do self-talk, self-approval, self-acceptance, self-love, self-respect, because this is all about how we value ourselves. And so these things are adding to whether we're being, you know, whether we feel valued or not. And that is reflected back to us through our outer reality. So, you know, if we're doing a lot of negative self-talk and we're disapproving of ourselves, that our external reality will reflect that to us. It's amazing how that works.
Yep. Awesome. So some questions you might play with again, one or even maybe all four. You might work with them one a week if they feel energizing to you. Could be, what would it take for me to value myself as the fierce pioneering warrior for love that I am? What would it take to claim that fully and see that in myself and acknowledge, honor, embody that even more fully? What bold, world-changing visions and dreams can I create and manifest as I open to receive unlimited financial support from the universe? That's just really, yeah, like ask that question, really. Maybe spend some time, like serious time, really imagining, you know, if money weren't an obstacle, if money was flowing in, what would I be doing? What would I create? What are those bold dreams? This is absolutely, truly, absolutely the time to do those things and to dream into them. How would it feel to be all in for the experience of maximum intimacy, pleasure and sexual fulfillment, and not to worry about the how, not to worry about any of the details of your life or your history or your past that are more oriented toward the pain paradigm, but to instead truly step into that field of knowing that at any moment, in a twinkle of an eye, as Kaylin likes to say, that can shift, that can change. And we don't need to know how, but we can imagine in our bodies how it feels to be completely and absolutely stepping into this other paradigm, this pleasure paradigm, and what would our lives feel like then? How would my life look and feel if I were to prioritize joyful creative expression as part of my purpose and mission? How would that look and feel? So how is it that I am purposeful, and that is actually, of course, a very joyful place to come from, that I have this strong sense of why I'm here, that I have this sense that I'm always aligned with that, I'm moving towards that, actually, even when I'm not quite sure, but there's that deep sense of purposefulness, and how would it feel if it's actually part of my purpose to embody and express as a joyful being and to explore my creativity and to express myself creatively and take time for those kinds of creative, to develop those kinds of creative skills and abilities that give my life greater color and greater aliveness and greater purpose and just tremendous joy. So those are some questions. Of course, I've added a lot too, but you might be able to think of a much better question, but those are some places to start. At the Sacral Chakra, we also have, of course, some home play that we would invite you to do any part of this that feels resonant. And the first could be a joy journal or a pleasure journal exercise, so that every night before sleeping, or every week perhaps for 20 minutes, or even just once over the course of this, at the end of the journey or however works for you, to use your Venus journal to explore and relive with your imagination, activating all your senses, all the experiences that have created a physical sensation of joy and pleasure in your body. So truly, the gratitude journal is so powerful, and this just takes it deeper so that you're really bringing your feeling, your emotion, your bodily sensation into this experience of exercise and spending more time really, you know, this at the sacral chakra with Venus and Taurus and just Beltane, all these energies all together. It's the time to go deep and to allow yourself to spend more and more and more time in these experiences that give you joy. So through this practice, you are anchoring the frequency of joy and pleasure into your life and body, restoring the pleasure principle at the center of your world. And when you do that, you affect everybody around you, because that vibration is also going to be impacting everyone, impacting your mother if your mother's still alive, even if she's not, impacting your children, impacting your neighbor, impacting everyone around you when you do this in a positive way. So the other exercise is more of the outer, the without, and it's the activating the new economy exercise. So it might begin by setting a clear intention this month, kind of like the mantras we were working with before, and you might use the mantra to attract information, experiences, and relationships that feed and energize a new economy in your personal life, community, and across the globe. So you look for proof that an economy that serves all humans and the earth is inevitable and quickly manifesting. And so, you know, you might, for example, if you go on Facebook or you go online, you look for news, just see if you can set, you can begin to look for as many places as possible to see different case studies or models or different examples of what's happening already that are really already manifesting this new economy. I'll just say I saw a recent video series that's all about Asian immigrant communities here in the U.S. and about how they already have been creating these really phenomenal alternative, sustainable, shared economies that created that demonstrate a new model. You know, there are many, many other things that are happening everywhere that we're starting to see. So energize that. So pay attention to all the ways your spending choices are growing the world you want to live in. You could even imagine yourself, like close your eyes, imagine yourself and think, okay, yesterday I went to Natural Grocers, or I went to my local farmer's market, or I just bought this beautiful painting from a local artist, or this piece of furniture that was made by hand, or whatever it is you're doing. And just imagine that, think about what kind of world you're creating with those choices. Share the juicy details of how this new economy looks and feels in your journal, just dreaming forward, and or on your Facebook page. You might also share some of the models and examples you're seeing in the world outside, and also share all the joyful ways you spend your money and how you see that that is having ripple effects to create the world you want to create. So those are some ideas of how you might play over the coming months with these things.
I love that. Of course, what we put our attention on grows.
Yes.
And as I was told by a very wise man, where your attention goes, energy flows. This was told to me in my 20s, and I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
So I love that. Yeah, so we want to put our attention on where we want want the energy to go. And I also just want to bring up, as we're getting ready to complete with this part of it, is that Deborah Mack sent
to
a book. Yeah, Living with Joy, Keys to Personal Power and Spiritual Transformation by Sanaya Roman. And Sanaya Roman's awesome. I haven't read this particular book, but I'm imagining it's amazing. And so another way, because of course it's all about joy being, you know, sort of foundational to pleasure. Those two things come hand in hand. So that's a great thing that she was recommending. And I posted the cover on the Facebook page, but for those who aren't on Facebook, just for you to know that. And then this slide number 31, we see, I found this today. I was looking for something else, and I came across this Artemis Women in Action Film Festival that's happening April 26th and 29th, 2018. And I love the bottom where it says, because hashtag women kick ass. This is a fierce, amazing warrior woman that's being depicted here. And, you know, if we think about how so Aries is so showing up in the collective, and that they have a film festival dedicated to the Aries warrior goddess. Oh my gosh, how amazing is that? Here at the sacred chakra.
So fun. Wow.
Yeah.
That's so awesome. So some of the other resources that you might want to play with, and of course there are a million others, and I would again say we don't have it here, but to Google Arvigo or Maya abdominal massage and find a practitioner near you if you can. It is such a beautiful practice that you can learn to give to yourself, to bring your love, your prayerful loving energy to your womb. I no longer have a uterus that is physical. I do have energetic, but I'll tell you, it's still so powerful, and also for your digestive system to do this practice. So powerful. So I recommend that very much. And also the Desire Map, a guide to creating goals with soul. This is a life planning tool. Danielle Laporte has a couple of different books that you can use, like a workbook and a book that you use, her book that she wrote as kind of a guide. And it's beautiful because it really builds on that whole idea of the pleasure principle and more. And she's very much an Aries kind of goddess, but she also deeply, in Danielle Laporte, the way she operates, also very much connects into this sacral chakra energy. So to work with her can be, and with her tools, can be very powerful. And, of course, I always, my dear friend and inspiring woman, Rochelle Sheikh, and some of you have come to this work through her, because she also adores shamanic astrology and the Venus work that Kaylin and I do. Rochelle Sheikh has a practice, a body of work that referred to as Koya, and you can do her 10 days of Koya love. It's an embodiment practice. It's really beautiful. That's free online in her program. And there also are other programs that she offers that you can find that have to do with really stepping again into what she refers to as your essence, which is wise, wild, and free. But really, all of what she offers has to do with getting embodied and stepping into your into the pleasure principle, as we're talking about. And then Womb Awakening as a Spiritual Path article is a great article, but it's also a great introduction to these the authors, the work that they do. I think they're in Asheville. They do beautiful work with the womb. And in the more beautiful world our hearts know is possible, and Sacred Economics by Charles Eisenstein, to, again, energize more and more of the awareness of the kind of gifting economies or more abundance-centered economies that we can, that are beginning to be formed and that we can help to create in the world around us. So, so there's some resources.
Yes, beautiful. I think we're ready to do a little journey. Correct?
Yay.
Yay. So, as we like to always say, it's really helpful to have a Venus journal or something to write on nearby so that anything comes up for you, you can capture it, because sometimes things come really quick and go really quick. So if you don't have a way to capture it, that's a bummer. And also, we like to remind people not to listen to this if they're driving or doing something that requires your full attention. It's also helpful to be in a quiet place and comfortable. And as always, you know, we've tried doing drumming and other stuff before, but it doesn't usually turn well on the recording. So if you want to drum or rattle or dance or sway or move or lie down, sit down, whatever you want to do, whatever works for you to help you get your attention focused on the ceremony, both at the Venus Temple and the Sky Temple, we just encourage you to do whatever works for you. So then once we've completed these ceremonies, we're going to go right into Q&A. And so we encourage you to, you know, capture, jot down any little things real quickly, because we, of course, want to have interaction. But that, you know, if you're listening to the replay, you can always stop the recording and take all the time you need. Anyway, so those are just the reminders. So let's begin and bringing your attention to your breath. And as you're consciously tuning into your breath, especially into your belly, do so with the intent to be fully present in this moment. And ask your personal grandmother guide or guides, all your allies, guardian angels, helping spirits, any power animals, whoever works with you, to go with you on this journey and to accompany you to the Venus Temple. And then imagine that you're traveling across the dimensions of time and space until you see the familiar radiant golden light guiding you to the Venus Temple. And arriving on the temple steps, you again see the huge temple doors and a wise and beautiful grandmother. And she approaches you, warmly greets you, and begins clearing your energy field with ceremonial sage and her special owl feather fan. So when the smudging is complete, you're directed to pass through the temple doors into the temple courtyard, pass by the temple fountain, and approach the Venus altar, where you join hands with your Venus sisters and brothers. And as you feel into the power and strength and beauty of this sacred space that we've all been co-creating since the beginning of this Venus cycle, if it feels right for you, invite the experience of ecstatic orgasmic pleasure into your body. And open to receive this delicious life force energy with the intention that you will receive more and more each day during the reclaiming that is we're doing at this chakra gate, individually and collectively. And take a moment to gaze upon the altar. And as you do, you're going to see a fierce and loving warrior goddess appear before you. She is beautiful. She is fierce. She is radiant. She is vibrantly alive. And she stands before you, gazing into your eyes, and declares these words: the fact that you are alive, that you exist, that you experience and express love is the most precious gift you can receive for yourself and the all of life. It is more precious and valuable than any material wealth you could ever have. And as she continues looking into your eyes, she asks you if you are ready to claim even more ecstatic, pleasurable life force energy. She asks you if you are ready for it to become an even stronger conscious presence alive within you. And just note where you are with this. Note how willing you feel you are to embrace this phase of the journey. And just note how willing you are to actively embrace new octaves of your creative sexual energy. And know that this energy is already yours. It's already your divine birthright. All you need to do is be willing to claim it. Of course, whenever we claim something or intend something, anything not in alignment with that intention will come up to get cleared. So it's not always that simple and that easy because it can be challenging. But if you're ready, the warrior goddess then is asking you to allow your awareness to connect with your sacral chakra and sexual center. And she places her hand over your sacral center. And you feel as she does that, that it's lighting up with this vibrant, alive, potent energy. And she's pouring this energy into your second chakra. And she reminds you that desire is the engine of creation. And it's the attachment to desire that causes suffering. So without desire, nothing would manifest in this reality. So desire is not bad. It's just when we get overly attached to desire. So what is it that you desire? What do you want to further activate and enliven it within you to create an even more powerfully amazing, alive connection with this chakra? And then this loving, fierce goddess asks you to gaze at the Venus altar and see if something is there on the altar that captures your attention. So just notice the first thing and notice how this image or symbol is a personal message helping to inform your journey at this time. If you don't know what the message is yet, that's okay. Even if you have no idea what the symbol or the image means, just know this is something you are here to work with over this next month and continue to ask for deeper understanding so that it can reveal itself to you. And now the warrior goddess is stepping back, bowing to you, inviting you to walk in beauty and to know your value and worth is growing more each day, adding to your experience of greater aliveness. So now it's time to express your heartfelt thanks to the warrior goddess and return to the temple steps in preparation for the Sky Temple journey.
And from the steps of the Venus Temple, now you look up to see the winding path leading into the deep forest. You follow the path surrounded by the beautiful ancient trees. And you take your time walking along this path, and you just savor the scent of the moss and of the fresh trees and of a fresh rain that has just rained upon the earth and of all the beautiful sounds of the birds. And as you walk, you just enjoy and just notice the aliveness around you, and you feel and experience that you are part of this great forest. And as you walk, the already dark forest continues to darken until you can barely see the path in front of you. Suddenly, there is a brilliant ball of light that appears before you, and it lights the path, and it leads you to a clearing. And when you step out into the clearing, you see the dark star of the dazzled night sky gleaming above you. And as you step into the clearing, you find yourself again standing before this deep pool of water. And the lotus blossoms are blossoming around along the edges, and you can smell their fragrance. And once again, in the pool's smooth, dark surface, you see the reflection of fireflies splashing and pulsing in the water. And once again, you smell also the scent of jasmine, and you feel the warm breeze, and you hear the hum of night insects. And in the distance, the hoot of an owl. And now you look off into the distance, and again, in that place where you had before seen a spiral staircase, you see the great, beautiful world tree, the tree of life, that great tree that we have been creating together, that great tree that marries earth and sky. And yet again, you approach this beautiful tree and you see that along the side of the trunk, there is a stairway, and you follow the stairway up, up, up the side of the tree until you come up through the branches and into a cloud bank. And you step, you move through the cloud bank and through the fog, and you come up and out, and once again on solid ground. And when you do, you look around to see that once again you've returned to the sky temple. And once again, you're awed by the experience of the stars and of the planets and of the moon and of everything around you, all of the celestial bodies. You feel them to be so close and so vibrant as if they're alive and sentient, and you know that they are. And above you, you see the Milky Way galaxy, but now when you look at it, you see that it's the body of a woman and it is alive. She is alive. It is nuts. And she is just smiling down upon you, and you feel her body as a blessing. You feel yourself held in this beautiful night sky. And you know if you were to put your fingers up, you could actually literally touch the stars. So as you look around, you also see that you see pyramids and you see stone circles and you see cairns and you see all type of alignments all around you, aligned with the stars and aligned with the sun and the moon cycles. And as you look, continue to look around, you see that in front of you once again, there are a pair of columns between which you see the great sacred hoop of stars. And you just take a moment to appreciate the beauty of this sacred circle in the sky. And within it, you see the bull constellation as if it is moving, as if it is a buffalo. You see the crab as if it is also alive. And you see the twins in the sky. And then within that sacred hoop, now you see Venus and the crescent moon. And you see that they are near the beautiful, brilliant blue star cluster of the Pleiades. And as your gaze is drawn to Venus, which is twinkling even more brightly, suddenly you feel as if your body is changing. You feel as if the world around you is swirling. The ground is moving. And then suddenly, a still point. And you feel as if you have entered a different dimension. And you feel and look around and see that you are surrounded by seven sisters of radiant blue light, covered with beautiful robes of blue. And they surround you. And they lead you to a bedroom. And in this bedroom, it's actually a healing temple room, with a bed that has the most gorgeous orange coverlet and sheet. They place you in the bed, and then each of them kneel on the side of your bed, and they place their hands on each of your chakras. So just take a moment to experience these beings as they place their hands on your chakras. And as they do, as you feel their fingers near each of your chakras, you feel that they are already sensing the deep pleasure and aliveness that has been ignited and that you have claimed in the Venus temple, that now you can feel that they are also activating your light codes and activating within you those dimensions of your DNA and of your deeper cellular memory that are so connected and so in touch with the pleasure principle as the engine of creation. And as you feel their hands, which are warm, on each of your chakras, you suddenly feel your own body, your energy body, is shifting and changing. You feel your own self and your vibration in some ways feels as if it's speeding up, but in some ways you feel as if you are, your energy is very, very slow, deep and present. And you can feel that you have been shifting so that you are now sensing, feeling in touch with your radiant light body. and the energy that you feel that you are, that is the essence of your divine presence, your divine feminine presence, is the experience of ecstatic bliss, is the experience of profound joy. You look at your hands and they are filled with light. You look down at your body, you are filled with light. And you remember how it feels to be anchored in this awareness of profound feminine bliss and joy. And now it is time for you to return, and you thank the sisters. And as you do, one of them steps forward, and she has a gift for you. It may be an object, it may be a message, but this gift will support you in anchoring this experience of the pleasure, of the joy, of the ecstasy, of the remembrance of your true nature as light. It will be to support you in your day-to-day life to anchor that awareness every day. So receive that gift. And now you thank the sisters, and you feel as once again, it is as if the room around you and the earth beneath you is shifting, and then suddenly again you find yourself standing in front of Venus and the moon and the sacred hoop and the Pleiades and at the top of the sky temple. And once again, you climb down through the cloud bank and down through the branches of the great world tree and down, down, down into your body and into the present moment. And now when you see and feel yourself, you also see and feel that these new light codes, which are also quite an ancient remembrance of who you truly are, have been activated, have been ignited, and you are no longer who you were when you first entered the Venus Temple. So it is, and blessed be, and maybe just take a moment. We return fully into the room, and take a moment to jot down anything that you want to remember just briefly. And you can come back to this later. Anything you want to remember from the Venus Temple journey and or the Sky Temple journey. And as you do that, I think we'll go ahead and open to some Q&A.
Yes. Beautiful. That was awesome, Tim. So if you have anything you want to share, you can share anything about the journey, any questions you might have, any insights, ahas, whatever. It press star 6. I think it asks you to press 1 to raise your hand, and then that'll put you in the queue. So awesome. We already have somebody. Yay. Hey, Emma.
Hi. Hey, it was even more powerful today than it has ever been before. And I just wanted to tell you that both your invocation and Tammy's just touched me to the bottom of my soul. I have something I want to share with you. I have been reading Victor Shaman's book on the way of play, and it's basically taking joy and play and becoming creator, creating a creation. And through this joy and of play, you experience life to a point where that you just never imagined that you could experience. I can't get on Facebook for some reason or another. It just won't let me in. So I'll go ahead and send you the name of the book, the link, and where it can be gotten. And really, really would love to have you go to his website, get into his blog, and see where he's coming from. He does a lot of work at the University of Arizona in Tucson, and he also has a international chanting group. So, powerful man. Anyway, thank you so very much, and I'll not talk anymore and turn it over to somebody else.
Emma, thank you.
Emma.
Thank you. Yeah, we'll look forward to getting that information.
Yeah, awesome. And, I'll keep working with you on the Facebook thing. We're going to figure this out. Maybe it's just because Mercury was retrograde. But I just want to echo that it does seem like joy is really one of the key words right now. I love joy and play. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
It very definitely is. I use this mantra every day. I am creator creating creation.
Ooh, beautiful.
I love that. That is so awesome. Beautiful. Thank you. So we don't have anybody else in the queue. Here's your chance. Do you have anything you want to share? Ask about? So we can give it another few seconds, but if we don't have anybody else jump in, then we will probably be completing this call soon. So,
yes.
Oh, good. We have somebody else. Here we go. Hi, Leif.
Hi.
Hi. That was Emma. I agree. That was really a great, great call and one that I needed. It's maybe more than people want to know, but I'm pretty direct. I've been so celibate, you know, without a relationship and a lot just focusing on my own wellness and, you know, recovering from a broken back that the thought of sexual pleasure just hasn't been on the top of my mind. But today I just loved, you know, even the thought of creating some imagination around it sounds encouraging. So I think it was Tammy. I don't know who said it. It doesn't matter. But thank you just for the thought of, you know, I think I've just closed it off because I can't physically express that right now. But, hey, I'm going to start imagining it. So thank you.
Wow.
Sharing this, Leif, because there may be a lot of other people in the same situation that don't have the courage to get on and talk about that.
Yeah. Thank you, Leif. I just, you know, I do think that I think when we were speaking, and there were a couple of things you were saying that might have triggered that for you, but one thing for me that was coming up as we were talking today, because it's so fun to do this with Kaylin because things just come, was I just had the recognition that with intimacy, with sexual pleasure, a lot of times I think our mind actually does get in the way. Like, we do have the story that we can't experience that because we think it's supposed to go like this. And I think it's true that actually I suspect that with the power of your mind, and who knows what else can happen, that with that intent that you will have some really powerful things to share, you know, that you may really feel some, or not, beautiful energy shift in you in ways that you can't even imagine. Really, truly, truly, that energy is for all of us to be able to access and experience.
Yeah, so I was thinking, you know, how can I experience that? And it's like, you know, when was the last time, you know, I'm walking around with back, you know, back wraps and things like that, but heck, I'm putting on my leopard hot teddy tonight no matter what I look like.
I love it.
You're so beautiful.
And another thought that occurs to me is, because there's a lot of stuff out there now about even if you don't have a partner, you can self-pleasure. And you can activate and enliven your own life force, your own sexual, you know, sometimes maybe even better than you could if you had a partner, just because you need to figure what that is out for yourself. Like, many of us need to explore that and figure out what it is so that we're more conscious going into it if we are with a partner. And I think this is a really important piece as well, and not something that people necessarily talk about. And I'm not really trained to teach anybody, but I mean, we did talk about Kegels, and there's ways you can activate that kind of life force energy. There is way more than that. I mean,
I've been
a lot of information out there.
Yeah, and it just, you know, so much is where my awareness is, and I guess that's what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. You know, this is kind of drawing the line in the sand between getting my attention, you know, shifted from the pain I've had in that area to creating pleasure in that area. And so I love today's call. It's
beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
I so appreciate you being willing to step up and speak into this, because I have a feeling that's going to be helpful for many others that may not feel as courageous about talking about what's going
on. And I would say, Lace, I'm with you. That's actually one of my goals this month, too, is, I'm going to be really frank also, is really learning greater capacity for self-pleasure. I feel like I have some of that, but I'm not in a relationship now, and I was, and I don't want to find myself in a situation again where I'm choosing to be intimate with someone I want to experience that intimacy and that pleasure, but I want to also really take my time. So I'm coming from a little bit of a different angle, but with that same intent, like I want to be able to feel that deep pleasure and intimacy within, in myself and with myself. And I also think that I've been seeing a lot of good resources. So when I find some good ones, I'll send them your way as well.
Okay. All right.
Yes. Awesome. Thank you, Lee.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. So anybody else? We'll give you another moment to have somebody else raise their hand. And if not, we'll be completing the call. All right, well, doesn't look like anybody else is jumping in. So, Tammy, do you want to do a quick closing?
Sure. Okay. Let's just take a couple deep breaths and just envision that we are, all of us, the entire circle, and now we are 89. even though some of us are on the call, some of us are not, that we are all present in the present time. That we are all creating this beautiful circle around the world tree, this big, beautiful tree that marries earth and sky. And each of us are connecting as well with our own center of pleasure, which is within our own bodies, within our own beautiful vessels of light. And just take a moment to feel, again, this deep pleasure that lives inside of you, and feel how that expresses, and how as that energy grows in you, how it transmits through your hands to the hands of the person next to you, and how you also experience from them that pure essence of delight, of joy, of pleasure, of aliveness that can only be transmitted by you, that can only be experienced in the way you can, and that can only be shared with you, with each of us in the way we do. So let's just feel and raise our hands, actually, as if we are holding each other's hands. We raise our hands now and just share. Feel with our hands that we are also transmitting and sharing this experience of delight, of joy, of pleasure with all beings across the planet, this beautiful planet Earth, and that as we do, that we see and experience and imagine and know that all around us in our neighborhoods, you know, maybe imagine the little neighborhood, the block right around you, or if you're in the country, the area right around you, that it is all, imagine that your neighbors, the people around you are experiencing the light and joy, and imagine as well that as you bring your attention outward into the natural areas, the park, the countryside, the oceans, the streams, all of the earth that is around you, imagine that that earth also is experiencing pleasure, and that you see things as green and vibrant and growing and thriving and healthy. The waters are clean and clear. Just really take a moment to experience that the whole earth is now experiencing pleasure. And anchor that awareness in your body. And as we complete, so much gratitude for the grandmothers for holding the space, for the fierce feminine rising inside of us and in the world around us and supporting us in truly embodying this new earth within and without. So it is.
Aho, I love that. Yes, yes, yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
Right, so maybe right. Have an incredibly pleasurable month.
Absolutely. So much love.
Yes, love to everybody until we meet again.
Okay.
Adios.
Adios, bye.